questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Ata, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion, I have a very special guest speaker, Brother Suhail. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I would like to thank all the listeners to be part of this session, inshallah.
Inshallah. That's all right. For today's discussion, we want to talk about a sect which is called nowadays as Wahhabis or Wahhabism. Some people say that this sect, we can say, did not exist in among the Islamic sects, or especially the Sunni ones, and the Shias has created this terminology in order to refer to, for example, to special behaviors of some Muslims. Historically speaking, what do we have about Wahhabism, Sheikh?
I would like to start from historical roots of Wahhabism. If we go back to our history and look up its painful events, some of those events shall attract our attention to reveal to us that Wahhabism, which we have known in this century, had ancient roots since the very beginning of Islam.
Okay.
They were apparent at one time, hidden at the other, doing taqiyya, which they do deny right now. One time they appeared daringly, and the other time they hid because of fear and dissimulation, what we call taqiyya.
Yes.
Until the time that Islam had regressed and its pillars and great personalities were afflicted,
yes,
then colonialism came to feed and strengthen this new thought.
Yes.
The aim behind it was to destroy the sanctity of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Muslim, due to colonialist thoughts, sanctified two things, the Quran and the Sunnah. These are two basic sources of the Islamic Sharia that was targeted by them. They know that the speech of Allah can never be changed and distorted because Allah Almighty has undertaken its preservation.
Yes.
But as for the Prophet's Sunnah, it is liable to distortion and fabrication. In fact, since the first day the Prophet left this world, disagreement took place amongst Muslims on the Prophet's Sunnah.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
However, the colonists perceived that the scholars of the time of the nation had set right for the Sunnah and collected its true and reliable traditions and put laws and rules to keep it safe from increase or decrease. Therefore, they thought of a satanic trick that might help them do away with the spiritual matters that the most active factor in this life of Muslim. It was that whatever Muslims gave up on these spiritualities, they would approach them step by step with unfaithful materialism,
okay,
and then they would become like the scum of flood.
That's
over
right.
Here, we would like to talk some of the events that took place after the prophets,
yes,
and during his last period while he was in this world. And we have this hadith of Qartas.
Yes.
You see, where they come and say that one of the brothers at that time would come and tell the Prophet that the Prophet had asked for paper and pen, and this brother would come, or this companion would come and say that, na'udhu billah, you have gone like into this, you are not thinking properly.
Yes.
And therefore, Quran is enough for us.
Uh-huh.
You see, taking only one part of it, because when you say that you follow Quran and Sunnah, means everything that the Prophet said. So Qirtas is actually the Sunnah of the Prophet. By neglecting it, you are thinking about something else. And the second incident was, again, after the Prophet has passed away, a companion came ahead and said that for those of you who believe in Muhammad, Muhammad is dead.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of you who believe in Allah, he is alive and will continue.
Okay.
For this kind of statement to be made, it is such a kind of nonsense, because anyone who says that if you believe in Muhammad, nobody believed Muhammad was Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone believed Allah was Allah.
Yes.
And everyone knew that Allah would continue in the religion.
So sorry, do they have any specific fiqhiyya school of thought, the Wahhabism, I mean?
So,
for example, are they Hanbali, Shafi'i, or something like that?
Yeah, so here what we know is that regarding to, so here there was this, it was, I would talk about yes. something that would clarify this. Okay. Here we would like to say that it was Wahhabism in its prettiest clothes, mm-hmm. clothes and clearest tongues. It plotted yesterday and is trying now to execute the plot to for today and tomorrow. Here I would like to talk where the Muslims are accepted as sects.
Okay.
Which will go back to Egypt,
okay.
Al-Azhar University,
yes. okay.
where a lot of Muslims take their sect for ideologies and fiqh matters from that school.
Okay.
Historically, Al-Azhar had a membership that represented diverse opinions within Islam. The theological schools of Al-Ash'ari and Maturidi
yes.
were both represented, and it has long tradition of teaching all four schools of Islamic thought,
okay.
which is the schools of Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi, and Hanbali.
Yes.
In 2016, Ahmad Al-Tayyib reissued the fatwa on Shia Muslim, calling them the fifth Shia
yes.
school of Islam,
okay.
and seeing no problem with the conversion from Sunni to Shia Islam. Now, the term Wahhabism was not used by Abdullah ibn al-Wahhab
yes.
himself.
Yes.
They used to call themselves as Salafi or the Muwahidun.
Yes.
You see?
Okay.
But as we see, we normally have these names. For example, we have over here Al-Ash'ari, Maturidi. Al-Ash'ari is Asha'ir, the
yes,
people
yes.
who follow him. The Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi, and Hanafi are also schools
Hanbali.
Of thought that, yeah,
yes.
Hanbali, that take from these scholars that were
yes.
over here. You see, they call themselves Salafis, they like to be called. But because they were following the ideologies of Abdullah ibn al-Wahhab, that's when this Wahhabi came to existence.
That's right. Muhammad ibn Abdul-Wahhab.
Yeah, Muhammad ibn Abdul-Wahhab.
Yes, yes.
Yes, in theology, Wahhabism is closely aligned with the Athari.
Mm.
Athari means traditionalist.
Yes.
Okay.
okay,
school which represents prevalent theological position of the Hanbali legal school,
mm-hmm.
you see. So if you see at this point, yes, they are part of sect, but not as itself. They stay behind Hanbali school in this progress. As a school in theology, no, because the Azhar accepts the Al-Ash'ari and Maturidi
yes.
as the school of thought, not Athari.
Yes.
We have Ash'ari and Athari.
Okay.
So here, Athari theology is characterized by reliance on Zahir, like the apparent or literal meaning of the Holy Quran and Hadith, and opposition to rational arguments in the matters of Aqidah favored by Asharites and Maturid. Over here, I would like to say that right now in Al-Azhar, Wahhabi is not a part of sect.
Yes.
It's a dimension of a Hanbali mm-hmm. sect that use, but they are still different from Hanbalis themselves.
Is it true that Ibn Taymiyyah thought had direct effect on the Wahhabis?
So, yeah, the roots also do come from there as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so yes. they have certain followers, but because in that time it was not that heavily
uh-huh.
Approached compared to the time of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, that's why that went down door and the Wahhabism spread from there because of these roots that they had at the end. As I said, that these roots had begin from the beginning of Islam towards
yes.
the end, but it gained its strength in the end towards Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab with the support that he was getting from the West.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
There are some opinions, I mean, Islamic beliefs related to Wahhabis. For example, giving visitation to the graves is forbidden. Building out the buildings or domes or something like that on the graves is forbidden. Just going to do tawassul to them is a kind of shirk. You know, how can I say? That's all right. You cannot swear by the names of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawassul again is forbidden. Having celebrations for the birthday anniversaries of the infallible Imams or, for example, Prophet Muhammad is forbidden. Tabarruk is forbidden. And all these, you know, according to their thoughts, are forbidden. Are they really rooted in Islam? I mean, we did not have such traditions in Islam to do so. Prophet Muhammad himself used to give, for example, visitation to the holy tombs of Hamza, Sayyid al-Shuhada, and the, we can say the martyrs of Uhud, even crying over the graves, doing salutations for them, doing supplications for them. So where do these ideas come from?
So we have the same issues regarding this, and one of the issues, apart from the ones that you mentioned, is that according to them, God has parts and limitations.
Uh-huh.
He has a body.
Okay.
You see.
Oh, and this is what they believe.
Yeah. So okay. as I mentioned, why do we call Wahhabis a diverted path? Is because they believe on the essence, on the literal meaning of Quran. For example, we have Yadullah. In the verses of Quran, okay. We have some verses that literally means face of Allah, hand of Allah. In some of the traditions, we have that, na'udhu billah, Allah will show his feet on the day of judgment and he will put on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Where some of them have said that what kind of hell it is, where the Lord of Muslims first will be going to hell and like make sure the hell is filled. You see, these kind of ideologies are there in their sect. Regarding tawassul and these things, what you said is true. They have this belief because they take everything literally. So, for example, regarding tawassul, they will bring some verses regarding the Holy Quran that says that only Allah should be believed and no one else. You see? But yes. At the same time, they would delay out the verses that says Allah does ask his believers to use wasila. You see, the difference between Muslims and Wahhabis in general is this, because we have a lot of Sunnis that actually do visit graves, do ask for the shifa of the Holy Prophet. It's only Wahhabis in the sense that don't.
Yeah. That's all right.
This is there.
Okay. So can we see, for example, any similarities between the Wahhabis and the Kharijites or Khawarij? Could we see that, historically speaking?
The Khawarij are somewhat different than Wahhabis. They might have similarities, but not as such, because they believe in the concept, the whole basis of Kharijites is the concept of Kufr and Iman.
Yes.
Where Kufr and Iman, according to them, if anyone does greater sins, any of the greater sins, he is neither mu'min or kafir.
Okay.
He is somewhere between. You see, while the Wahhabis do not wait for gunahani kabire or the greater sins.
Greater sins, that's right.
What they do is, for example, right now, if you see anyone that does not follow their ideology according to their own books is a kafir.
That's right.
So either you are a muwahidun or kafir. There is nothing like Sunni or Shia according to them. However, they use the basis of Sunni to propagate Islam according to their ideologies.
That's right. There are so many books written on criticizing the Wahhabis' viewpoints. Some of the most important ones are Minhaj al-Irshad, Liman Arad al-Sadat by Sheikh Jafar Kashif al-Ghita, Wahhabism by written by Ayatollah Jafar Subhani, Mawsu'at al-Naqdiya by Wahhabiyya. You know, again, this has been a Mawsu'ah, a collection of the books written on criticizing the Wahhabism, written by Ahl al-Sunnah themselves, because these ideas are even criticized by Wahhabism and so many other outstanding books. Kashf al-Irtiyab, fi atba' Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Muhsin Amin al-Amali, the outstanding Shiite scholar, has written also this book in criticism of Wahhabism. Thank you much, Brother Suhail. Do you want to add?
I would like to advise one more book by Ahmad al-Tijani.
Ahmad al-Tijani, Ahmad al-Tijani.
The book's name is all solutions are with the progeny of the Holy Prophet.
Holy Prophet, that's right.
Of which it does talk a bit about these issues, okay, and where he has a debate with one of the greatest scholars of Wahhabi,
Wahhabism,
that came in, and the way he was able to dectify this that's person, right, and the followers that came to see the debate, they ended up accepting Tijani.
Yes.
Thanking him, because they were always believing on what they were saying. The discussion was related to the topic of Tawassul.
That's right.
And that's when it got sorted, and a lot of them accepted this truth.
Okay.
For him, yeah.
Thank you very much, Brother Sohail, for a nice explanation, giving us fruitful discussion and really outstanding and rich details regarding Wahhabism during the history of Islam. It was very kind of you. Thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li aliyin wa husaynin wa hasan. Li aliyin wa husaynin wa hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي حسين وحسن.